In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. For the first 3 centuries after the life and crucifixion and resurrection and ascension of Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost, for the first 300 years after those events, the celebration of the birth of Christ and his baptism were one feast day. They were one feast day because the baptism of Christ was the public revelation of the presence of the Son of God in the world. It was then that he would begin his ministry. But acts of God in this world take time. Christ is born, he is baptized, he begins his great work. But there is time between the birth of Christ and the baptism of Christ. There is his childhood, there is his youth. The second reading that we did this morning makes reference to that childhood, to that youth. And today is the 8th day of the celebration of the Feast of the Nativity. The 8th day of Christmas, as we in the West learned to call it during history. The 8th day is the day that the babe newly born was taken and was circumcised. As every Jew had always been circumcised since the beginning of God's making covenant with Abraham, that there would be a covenant between God and his chosen people, and that he would be their God, and they would be his people. And circumcision was a physical sign in the flesh of that covenant. And the keeping of that covenant was the keeping of the law. And there were a lot of rules. There weren't just the 10 commandments, there were rules that showed that you were a member of the chosen people. Today, at our end of history, there are many who think of our relationship to God as a kind of legal relationship. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. It's just a matter of not killing anyone, or not lying, or not doing any one of the other things that are forbidden. And when we are children, we have to begin like that. We need to be told by our parents because we're not able yet to understand, we're not able yet to freely act in the world as adults who are responsible for our own moral and spiritual life. We have to be guided in that kind of way by our parents when we are children. And the people of Israel, when God first made his covenant with them, were children for God. And so he gave them commandments. Don't do these things. But as time went on, they began to realize that there was something behind the commandments. And they began to mature. As we mature, when we reach adolescence, and we begin either to see that there is something behind the things that we've been told not to do, or we simply begin to rebel against them. Because we feel like we are old enough now to do as we please and not be under the authority of a parent, or not be under the authority of God, or not be under the authority of society. And we fail to see what is behind the rules. The people of Israel, for the most part, did not follow their prophets who tried to show them that behind the law there is the spirit of the law, the purpose of the law. And the purpose of the law was to guide the chosen people of Israel, to move them toward becoming righteous, people who were able to act righteously in any situation, not by consulting the rules or the laws and being satisfied with obeying the law and the rule and thinking that other people fail because they don't obey the law, they don't obey the rules. There comes a point in our spiritual development when we have to begin to see purpose for the rules, the purpose for the laws that we were given as children. The laws, the rules are given in order that we might learn the spirit of those laws, of those rules. But the difficulty was that there was no one who could be the living spirit of the law of God. The actual living presence of a human being in the image of God and likeness of God. Christ, Jesus, is taken as a baby to the temple and is circumcised like every other member of the chosen people to show his oneness with those people. But he is the one who will fulfill that law and free us from simple obedience to the law and make it possible for us to fulfill the law along with him, to make our life a worship of God in spirit and in truth. The spirit comes behind the revelation of the truth of our humanity and God's divinity, where they meet in Jesus the Christ. Paul says that the law kills, but the spirit makes us alive. The spirit of the law makes us alive, makes us able to live and be moral and spiritual beings in whatever situation that we pass through. And there is no conflict between the demands of the practical life that we live in the world and the life that we are called to live, to be Christ-like, Christophorus, Christ-bearers. Paul says that if by physical circumcision we were able to fulfill the spirit of the law afterward, then circumcision would be saving us. The law would be saving us. The old covenant would be saving us. But circumcision doesn't work that change. It can bind the chosen people together, but it can't give us the reality of the presence of a human incarnation of the law of God. And that's what Jesus Christ will be. He is circumcised in order to save his people from their sins. The feast of circumcision is a kind of a transition point between our celebration of the feast of the Nativity of Christ and our coming celebration of the baptism of Christ. The circumcision of the infant and the words that we have in Scripture about Jesus as a young man, they move us from his birth toward his baptism. And by his baptism, he won't just be identifying himself with the chosen people of Israel and the old covenant that he will be the fulfillment of. He also identifies himself with all of us, with the whole of the being, man, that God created. We are a single being. We are not individual, separate beings. Me, you, and all of the others individually. All of us are of one creation, the creature that God created, man. And he created man, male and female. It's not about gender. Politics, gender, they're at the forefront of people's way of thinking today, but it's not in Genesis. It's not scriptural. It's a completely self-oriented individualism. God created man. There's no gender involved here. It's man as compared to any type of animal, a dog or a buffalo or an elephant. God created them, and he also created man. And man is intended to be a certain way, but he departed from the way of being man. And he fell into self-reliance and a love of the world and a forgetfulness of God. And death came into the world. And so God gave the law in order to draw a kind of line around human beings Don't go beyond this. At least stay within this area. You are not able to be safe. It's like when we deal with children, we surround them with commandments. Don't do these things because it's too dangerous. Don't go out and step in the road. Don't leave our property, our area where it's safe. Don't do these things. God did that with his people at first, but it's not enough for us to be able to live as the free human beings that God created us to be. And so he came into the world himself, took on our flesh, followed the covenant of the old law, and was circumcised. But Paul says circumcision and following the law cannot save us. They were given to us as a teacher, but it's only circumcision of the heart, St. Paul says, that can save us. We have to be circumcised in our heart. We have to get rid of the love of sin, the love of the flesh. That has got to be circumcised. It has nothing to do with just being a male or a woman. All of us are subject to circumcision of the heart. In the old covenant, the patriarchy, where men, by their circumcision, united the people to God, that's past. In the Christian faith, all of us must be circumcised in our hearts. All of us can take advantage of the fact that God has become one of us, and we know what it is to be a human being. A human being can be the living presence of the incarnate law of God that is Jesus Christ. And that's the meaning of the feast of the circumcision of Christ as we prepare to celebrate the baptism of Christ. And so let us look to ourselves and consider how far we are from being as we ought to be, able to be sources of spiritual light and live in spiritual freedom in the world, not dominated by the flesh, but instead having circumcised the foreskin of our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.